Experts tell us that your average two-year-old learns 16 new words every day. 16 new words every day. And by the time that they're in kindergarten, they have a vocabulary of 13,000 words. That's incredible. 13,000 words in such a short span of time. Now, what the experts don't tell you is that the one word that mom and dad don't want them to learn and don't want them to repeat, they master in mere seconds. I still remember back when our daughter Madison, she's now almost 18, when she was just before she was two, I came home one night and Michelle, my wife, said, "Hi, honey." And Madison looked up at me and goes, "Hi, honey." For a good portion of the evening, the two-year-old was calling me honey. It was weird. It was weird. Not quite as bad as a story that I read about. I read about a young couple having a dinner party on Friday night, invited several people over. Things are going very, very well. They sit around the dinner table. The mom thought it would be cute if the daughter sort of led the evening prayer. So she said, "Honey, would you say the meal prayer for us?" And she got all nervous. She says, "But mommy, I don't know what to say." She said, "Just say what mommy always does." So they all bow their heads. "Dear Lord, why did I invite all these people over? Amen." When you have small children around, you have to watch every word that you speak. And in fact, Scripture says that we should always watch every word that we speak. The book of James has some incredibly strong language about our tongues, strong language about how we say things and what we say to one another. Let's take a look at James chapter 3. Now, I'm going to use the New Living Translation because I think it reads better and has more of a punch to it. But listen to this. "And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself." In all of Scripture, this is some of the strongest language that you'll read, and it's all centered around the tongue. It's all centered around the things that we say. To say that it's set on fire by hell itself? My friends, we've been talking about living a transformed life, that having been called to faith in Jesus, He's given us a new life. And Scripture says that we should be transformed each day more and more into His likeness. If we're going to be in the likeness of Jesus, we need to transform our speaking. We need to pay attention to what we say and when we say it. We transform our speaking when we understand the power of words. We need to understand the power of words because I think that it is easy to underestimate the power of words. I think we do it all the time. If it isn't something physical, if it isn't something that we can see, we underestimate it. We say, "I'm just talking. Well, I didn't really mean it when I said that. I was just blowing off a little bit of steam. I was just venting a little bit." How many times have you vented a little bit only to live to regret what you said? I'll bet you to a person here, each one of us, at some point in time, came home from a really rough day. And the moment you hit the door, you let it fly. You let everybody and anybody know how rotten your day was, starting with traffic that morning, to the boss, to the client, to spilling lunch on your tie. I mean, you name it, you just dump the whole thing on the family. Now, once you're done, you feel pretty good. You got it all off your chest. But you are just curious why everyone else is in a bad mood. Best because we underestimate the power of words. You see, we have bought into a lie. You've probably heard me say this before, but I'm going to say it again because it's true. Because it was drilled into me as a kid, but it was a lie. You remember, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will." Yeah, I didn't believe it then, and I don't believe it now. Bones will mend. The wounds from words can last a lifetime. Wounds from words can last a lifetime. Think about some of the things that are said. "You're stupid. You'll never amount to anything." I can't believe you're going out in that. I don't like you. I hate you. I don't want to be around you. Just hearing those words, doesn't it put a pit in your stomach? Words, they wound, they hurt. Research has shown that by the time you turn 5, you've heard something positive or a yes about 5,000 times. In that same span of time, you've heard no or a negative 40,000 times. 5,000 times, affirmative yes. 40,000 times, a negative or a no. It affects us. Words wound. Now, in today's age, we've got more than just our mouths that we can strike out with. Because now, in the digital age, instead of somebody shooting off their mouth, they shoot off a text, or they shoot off a tweet, or they respond and reply and make a comment on their Facebook page, and they rip people apart. And in one sense, it's even more dangerous, because either you can be anonymous, they don't know that you're making the comment, or you don't have to face the person eye to eye to insult them. And if you will, you can drop a verbal bomb that hits hundreds, if not thousands, of people with your words. And we do it all because we underestimate the power of words and the hurt that it inflicts. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. They can be used to build up, or they can be used to tear down. That's why James speaks so strongly about it in his letter. But that's not the only place in Scripture. It's all over the place. It talks about watching what we say. Let's take a look here at 1 Peter 3. It says, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, yeah, sounds good to me, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. You want to enjoy life, go through sailing pretty good, watch what you say, he says. Control your mouth. How about Proverbs 18:20? Wise words satisfy like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. Words make a difference. Because there's power in words, and we can't underestimate that. You want to transform your speaking. Do not underestimate the power of words. And also know the power of silence. Know the power of silence. Sometimes we just shouldn't speak. It is so difficult for us to control our tongues that if we open up our mouth, the devil steps in and we lash out at someone. You all have had this experience. I know it. Somebody has said something to you. It rubbed you the wrong way, or it hurt you, or they lashed down at you. And before you even had a chance to think, you slice them with your tongue and you lash back out at them. And then you live to regret it. Because we can't control our tongues. Let's go back to James. This is what he says. 3 verse 7. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, fish. He says, we can control animals, but no one can tame the tongue. No one can contain the tongue. It is a restless and evil, full of deadly poison. We have such a hard time controlling what we say. Sometimes it's better just to not speak at all. That when somebody says something to us, count to 10, count to 100, just don't speak. Listen to what Proverbs says on this. Proverbs 10:19. Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. You see why I like the New Living Translation? They say it like it is, right? That's my language there. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut. And what's his premise here? Too much talk leads to sin. I don't know why it is, but in our social circles, we think that silence is not golden. We think that we have to fill every moment with conversation. We've got to talk and talk and talk. Well, soon you run out of things to talk about. And so you find people to talk about. and you slip right into gossip. You're not hurting the person next to you, but you're damaging the reputation of somebody else. Too much talk leads to sin. Can we learn the power of silence and just not saying a word? Can we not learn from Jesus? How many times did Jesus just not say anything? People would come up to him with accusations. He'd stay quiet. They'd come up to him with trick questions. He'd ignore the trick question. He wouldn't try and answer them. He wouldn't step into their trap. He just remained silent. Probably the greatest example is Jesus in front of Pilate. Do you recall? Jesus in front of Pilate. There's all kinds of accusation and lies about Jesus. And they're hurling at him all over the place, and he just doesn't say a word. Pilate finally looks at him and he says, "Aren't you going to say anything?" And says, Jesus remained silent. Now, I'm going to do a little conjecture here. My conjecture here is that if Jesus would have defended himself, if he would have refuted the accusations, they would have just come up with more lies and gone even deeper into their sin, and he wasn't going to have anything to do with that. If by somehow Pilate is convinced to let him go, now he doesn't face the cross, and our salvation is lost. So Jesus doesn't say a word. An incredible act of self-discipline and strength. He remains silent, and he remains our Savior, and he wins our salvation. For silently he went to the cross. And for more than just our misdeeds, but for words spoken and hurts that were inflicted, Jesus takes the punishment for us. And he wins forgiveness for us, and he gives us new life, a transformed life. That means we transform our speaking. And sometimes the best way to transform our speaking is to not speak at all. Is to stay silent. Know the power of silence. Know the power of affirmation. I've been spending most of my time talking about the negative effects of our words. That's because that seems to be more prevalent. But we also need to understand on the other side is the positive effect of our words and the power of affirmation in someone's life, of saying kind things, things that build them up. Listen to what Paul says to the church at Ephesus. He says, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them." Encourage the people around you. Build up the people around you. I don't know how many articles I have read about the workplace and what motivates people and what makes satisfied employees and where is it that people find joy in their work. It never talks about salary. Salary has little to nothing to do with people's job satisfaction or their productivity. It has everything to do whether they feel valued, whether someone has affirmed them, somebody has complimented them, have built them up, because words are just that powerful. Think about these words. "I love you. You look fantastic today. You did an incredible job. I am so proud of you." What did those words do to you on the inside? Much, much different than the others. Because words build us up. We need that affirmation. And my goodness, do we need it. So research has shown that for every negative comment we have, there needs to be three to balance it out. It all goes back to 5,000 affirmatives, 40,000 negatives or no's. That means you have to have three affirmations, three compliments to equal one negative. You've all experienced this. You've done a good job on something. People are congratulating you, telling you what a wonderful job you did, and then one person makes one statement that's slightly critical. Which one are you going to think about tonight? It's human nature. Comes from that 5,000, 40,000, I'm telling you. We focus on the negative. So that tells us something about our words and what we speak. The words of affirmation need to be many. It's See, I'm not suggesting that we're a doormat and let people walk all over us and never say anything, but I'm just saying the affirmative words have to outnumber the negative words. Think about affirmation from God. Think about some of the things that we read in Scripture. And how does this make you feel? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. What? He'd do that? How about the letters to John? Where he says, I call you dearly loved children because that's what you are, children of God. Or how about St. Paul when he says that we've been adopted as sons and daughters of our Father in heaven? Or Jesus saying, I now call you my friends. Or when he says that I've come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for you. God builds us up with his grace. God builds us up with his words of affirmation. Words are powerful. We have to recognize that. The tongue is hard to control, so silence sometimes is a good thing. And affirmative words, words of affirmation, those need to be spoken. Here's what it comes down to. I think it comes down to this, because we face it every moment of every day. When somebody says something to you, or you read something which is directed at you, that it irritates you, it rubs you the wrong way, it hurts you, to just stop. Instead of firing back a text, instead of commenting on the post, instead of lashing out with your tongue, just stop. Just wait for a moment. And say, now what am I about to say? Will it build up or will it tear down? Will it glorify God or will it be a foothold for the devil? Words matter. Words are powerful. And if our lives are being transformed to be more and more like Jesus, then we need to transform our speaking as well. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, you know what a challenge this is for us to control our tongues. They've been set on fire by hell itself. And when somebody lashes on at us, our natural reaction is to lash back. We ask for the gift of your Holy Spirit to give us courage, discernment, to help us to know just the power of words and the power of silence. And would you bless our speech so that we could speak words of affirmation to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.